Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ. This is guest host Clayton Wood. Jim Wood is my wonderful father, your regular host of this program. I am guest hosting some this month, and I look forward to doing that some more this year as well. I'm going to talk about a very difficult topic today, a very sad topic, a very hard topic, and that is the violence and school shootings that have happened recently in the last few years, the concentration of those shooters who have struggled with their gender identity. An overwhelming number of school shooters since the Covenant school shooting in Nashville were experiencing gender dysphoria. 7 school shootings, including the recent school shooting in Canada, starting with Audrey Hale in Nashville, 4 of the 7 mass shootings that have happened, the 7 most recent, 4 of them were individuals experiencing gender dysphoria. We should speak honestly about violence, identity distress, and the patterns we are seeing without demonizing a whole group of people. There is no dispute that most people who identify as transgender are not violent and are not a threat to others. And the point of what I'm saying here is not to suggest otherwise. But the point is that in several of the most widely reported school and public mass shootings of the last few years, identity conflict, despair, suicidal ideation, and ideological framing appear in the writings, statements, or lives of the perpetrator, and that deserves honest discussion rather than denial. Different organizations are using different methods of counting mass shootings, so you have wildly different counts. Some of the trackers include any incident where a gun is fired on school property, even if nobody is hurt. These are the groups who come up with numbers that are ridiculous. 5,000 school shootings. There haven't been 5,000 school shootings. Now, sometimes people will count a gang dispute that happens near a school event, and also a domestic violence thing that happens 2 doors down from a school. But the ones that focus on the rare events that the public is actually thinking about when they hear the words school shooting, meaning a deliberate attack on unrelated victims in a school setting with multiple victims, they are showing a very concerning pattern, and it is a pattern that many people do not want to talk about. So let's go over these 7 attacks. The Covenant school shooting happened in Nashville in March of 2023. Our wonderful governor in Tennessee, Bill Lee, his wife Maria, one of her best friends, was killed in that shooting. It prompted a lot of discussion about how that type of event could be prevented. The shooter was known to the mental health professionals and was known to have fixations on violence that were deeply unhealthy, and their gender transition medication, etc., wasn't helping make them whole at all. Since then, in June of 2023, there was another shooting that was a mass shooting, but it was 5 people being killed in a shooting that turned out to be a gang violence long-standing grudge in this school near Richmond that resulted in these 5 deaths. Some people who shot during that violence weren't even convicted of a crime because it was ruled self-defense because of the gang violence. So not the type of school shooting that we're thinking about. but in Perry, Iowa, in January 4th of 2024, a 17-year-old named Dylan Butler shot multiple students and staff members before killing himself. Elements of social contagion were present. He posted images and cultural signals linked to Columbine, and his online footprint included identity confusion and despair. In August of 2024, in Winder, Georgia, a 14-year-old named Colt Gray killed 4 and injured 9 at his school. His father was criminally charged for buying him a rifle. His father bought him a rifle after Colt had made warnings and alarming statements about wanting to commit a school shooting. This case reflects ignored warning signs, family failure, and access to guns for 14-year-olds. In Madison, Wisconsin, December 16th, 2024, a 15-year-old named Natalie Lynn Rupnow killed 2 and injured 6 before dying by suicide. Her writings and imagery reflected admiration for previous school shooters. A detail that matters here is not music causes murder. It does not. But Rupnow and Dylan Butler shared an unusually specific cultural marker. They both were fans of KMFDM, a small industrial band from Europe. That's not evidence that KMFDM turns people into killers, but it is evidence of something else that's important. Both shooters were pulling from the same aesthetic and influence stream that has shaped school shooter imitation for decades, beginning with Columbine. That band was popular with the shooters, demonically inspired shooters at Columbine, and since then, it has inspired many others. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, in August of 2025, a shooter opened fire during a school mass at Annunciation Catholic School. 2 children were killed and 18 other children and 3 adults were injured. With that many children injured by a rifle, the quick response and trauma care given, in contrast to an incident like Uvalde, Texas, saved many lives. Reporting identified the perpetrator as Robin M. Westman. Writings and evidence released afterward reflected both shooter admiration and profound identity distress. Now, very recently, in a small town called Tumberler Ridge, British Columbia, a deadly school attack occurred. 10 dead, including the shooter, and 27 injured. It's the second deadliest school attack in the history of Canada. This shooter was trans. This shooter had a mom who was active in the trans rights movement who was killed by her child. The shooter had been interrogated by the police, had shown distress, violence, suicidal ideation, and still was able to have access to guns and kill both their family and people at their school. How deeply tragic it was to see the talisman of the pride poster, "Everyone is welcome here," with the trans flag movement on the exit next to where people were fleeing from their lives as I looked at the videos coming out of this shooting. So the pattern that people are pretending not to see is, even if you believe that this is statistically rare, something is very obvious. A shockingly high percentage of the most widely publicized school attacks in the last few years involve suicidal ideation, identity distress, admiration for previous shooters, and online subcultures that treat mass murder as a kind of legacy. Trans people make up 5% of the population and less than 1% of attackers, so they're less likely to attack than everyone else. I heard this kind of nonsense from people when trans shooting was discussed. But this is the stark reality. Trans people make up a tiny fraction of the population, and they make up 4 of the 7 shooters in the last 7 mass shootings at schools. That is not a reason to demonize an entire minority group, but it is a reason to stop lying. Imagine a society where adults start telling hurting young people something obviously false. They tell them, with a straight face, that they can fly. Not metaphorically, literally. They say, if you'll just flap your arms hard enough and believe hard enough and jump from the right place, you'll finally become what you were meant to be. Then they build a business around it. They buy a beautiful piece of property on a cliff. They build a big platform. They put up signs. They charge admission. They sell shirts. They hire counselors whose job is not to ask, is this true? Their job is to say, you're brave. You're valid. Anyone who questions your ability to fly is harming you. Some kids stand there shaking. Some are suicidal. Some are angry. Some are desperate. And they jump. They fall. They shatter. And the same adults who lied to them say the reason you are in pain is because people down below did not clap loud enough. If they had affirmed you more, you would have flown. That is not compassion. That is cruelty. That is what it looks like when a culture turns delusions into a moral virtue and then blames reality for the injuries. The Christian response is not to mock the broken. The Christian response is to patch up the wounded and to confront the liars. When a parent sees warning signs of a future school shooter and buys their child a rifle anyway, they should be criminally charged. When a parent, school counselor, psychiatrist, or doctor promises someone that a profound and in some cases irreversible change will make their life whole, and it does not, they are also contributing to the problem. Not in the same way as the parent buying the gun, but in the same moral category. People with authority making promises to fragile people that reality cannot keep. People who are causing harm, even if they say their motives are good. A word about social contagion. People should be paying more attention to social contagion. I don't know if every future school shooter will leave a trail on Reddit or 4chan or darker corners of the internet. But I shudder to think how many message boards have thousands of people who are far closer than any of us want to admit to move from shocking online talk to real evil in the real world. Spaces where people say racist things are harmful. Spaces where people romanticize school shooters are even worse because they create a shared script, they normalize the idea, and they give lonely, angry, suicidal people a model and a community to impress. Canada learned this long before the internet. In 1989, Marc Lépine murdered 14 women at École Polytechnique de Montréal and then killed himself. In his suicide letter, he expressed admiration for Denis Lortie, the Canadian Armed Forces corporal who attacked Quebec's National Assembly in 1984, killing 3 and wounding 13. That is what social contagion looks like in the pre-digital era. One violent man becomes the reference point for another. But now, add modern platforms and algorithmic amplification, and the contagion effect becomes easier, faster, and more scalable. Here's how I think about it. Suicidality is the gasoline. In the United States, the CDC reports over 49,000 people died by suicide in 2023. The CDC also reports 1.5 million suicide attempts that year. Many of us have lost people we love to this battle. Those numbers are staggering, and they include people with different levels of intent, including people who are ambivalent and people who are crying out for help. But the match to that gasoline is grievance and permission. A suicidal person told that the reason for their misery is somebody else's wickedness, somebody else's cruelty, and the violence will finally make them seen, can move from despair inward to rage outward. The transition or suicide claim is not true. For years, we have been told that it is vital to support gender transitions, or else the person will kill themselves. But the best evidence does not support the claim that transition reliably resolves suicidality long-term. People post-transition often still want to kill themselves. Even in studies most favorable to gender-affirming care, which is, in fact, care that goes against the gender that God created for them. Post-transition people still show depression and suicidality far above the general population baseline. They deserve compassion, and many of them are tragic victims of a medical industrial complex that responded to financial incentives that ruined the lives of children. But it also means that that slogan is false. People have guilted parents into supporting the absolute destruction of their children in the lie that what they're doing is kindness. When you build an identity movement around fragile self-concepts and then tell people the world is committing violence against them by refusing to affirm the lie, you should not be shocked when a fraction of unstable, suicidal people turn that despair outward. The most high-profile assassination in my lifetime, surpassing John Lennon, was the murder of Charlie Kirk. He was killed by someone who absolutely was lied to about trans ideology. He was tied into the social contagion, and he joked about violence towards those who disagreed with acceptance and embrace of trans identity. His lover, who he lived with, was trans. So yes, it is another important cultural marker, and people denying it have just added another layer to their denial of realities that the rest of us can clearly see. Creating a world where people who refuse to agree with your delusion are harmful to you is incredibly dangerous, because it fuels the idea that violence against those who do not support you is self-defense, and that those who refuse to embrace your chosen gender identity or that of those you love represent an existential threat. That is a shockingly common lie in many circles. If you can convince someone that it is self-defense to attack someone who refuses to accept their delusion, you are a huge part of the problem. You are, in an immoral way, giving grievance a weapon to lie and claim self-defense when attacking people who are seeking to speak the truth. A final word to us as Christians, as a group, those listening to Abiding in Christ and choosing this station on satellite radio are people who already know the love of Jesus. We must balance kindness, compassion, and love with the command to speak truth in love. Agreeing with lies is never kind. It is cruelty. Embracing mental illness and redefining it does not help the person struggling. It sets them up for a deeper despair. The Christian response is compassion for the sufferer, truth about what God made, and courage to confront the people profiting from misery. I don't want to demonize anyone. I want to help the demonized. And I want us to stop pretending that this pattern is not real. If this is striking a chord with you, I'd love to connect. I'd love to talk more about it. You can find me online. I have a Facebook, Clayton Wood, that you're welcome to follow and comment and connect. But this is a conversation around something important, because we live in a world dominated by the father of lies. There is a very real spiritual war that is happening. There is an agenda. Part of that agenda is that Satan wants the lies that he is promoting to be accepted broadly, to be promoted. And ultimately, what Satan promises people, fulfillment, joy, happiness, is a lie. And it's a lie that is devastating to them. Just one more surgery, just one more medication, just one more person to agree that what you are deciding to do is healthy and you'll be happy. It doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us that in the created order, God made them male and female, and it was good. There are folks who, because of the fall, because of sin, suffer from different types of birth defects. But that's incredibly statistically rare, and that's not the group of people that we're talking about when we talk about trans ideology. Even those folks have chromosomes that indicate something. They're either a disordered male or a disordered female. But when people decide to rebel entirely against the created order, when people decide, I feel like a girl, so I am a girl, or I feel like a boy, so I am a boy, you see incredible brokenness. The young man oppressed by demons in Canada who just killed a bunch of people literally began his journey towards radicalization and self-harm by wanting to be an anime character. Now again, a healthy a rational, a truth-telling, a Christian response would be tremendous compassion for someone whose brain is really struggling, who needs help, who needs the truth. But instead, his mom thought that it was great to pump his body with drugs. And even as he continued to break down, to seek to agree with his delusion. It is, as a parent, heartbreaking to contemplate your child going through something like that. But we know, biblically, that lies aren't helpful. Satan is the father of lies. He wants us to embrace lies. And telling the truth is vital for our health. Societally, we must tell the truth. I was absolutely shocked and appalled to listen to a Royal Canadian Mounted Police say, we've identified the gun person, because they didn't want to say that the person who originally they said was a young woman in a dress was in fact a young man. But that is what happened. A mentally ill, deeply disturbed, demonized young man wearing a dress, pumped full of hormones that should never have been given, went and killed his mom, his brother, and then people at his school. This is in part a tragedy that is based on a cultural lie that agreeing with delusions and lying is compassionate, is kind, and will lead to healing. It does not, and it will not. The truth will set you free. The created order came from God. The created order honors God. And we as Christians, with love and compassion, should help people who are suffering from gender dysphoria. But we cannot and must not agree with their lies. God loves people who are broken. Jesus spoke about people in his time and in his culture who had been neutered, who had been surgically operated on. That was a common practice among some large groups of slaves. We know in the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch. If someone has gone through that kind of transition and now they are filled with remorse and regret, God has a plan for them. God can rescue them and redeem them and use them just as he used the Ethiopian eunuch. But as a culture, we must repent of ever going along in agreement with lies and liars. And instead, we must insist on telling the truth. God made us men and women, and it was good. The differences that we have are real. The differences we have are designed. The differences we have bring glory and honor to God. And we are not to attack ourselves. We're not to attack the created order. We are to celebrate the fact that we are made in the image of God, but we are made distinct, male and female. That is a good thing. It's not, we, God could have made us like fish. We could be like a Napoleon Rass and be able to just switch our genders at any point. You can look that up. If you put two female Napoleon Rass in a fish tank, one of them might become a boy so they can start having baby fish. That has happened a total of none times in the history of humanity, because two women can't become a man so that they can have children. It doesn't happen. God didn't design for it to happen. And pretending like it can happen is not a mercy. It's not a kindness. It's a lie that has destructive capability. May we speak the truth in love as Christians. May we be careful to insist upon it. May we offer compassion, grace, and mercy to those suffering in a world where lying is promoted and the truth is covered up. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.